Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We are the home of the Nats and the Caps and more talk than anybody about the team that everybody in football can't get enough of, the Washington Commanders. Question for you guys on the table right now. We started the show. Are you buying in on this team? Is this authentic? Is this 3-1 record the truth? And are they going to continue to play at this level offensively? And I don't mean not punting, right? I don't mean scoring every time they touch the ball, but can they continue to be a juggernaut? Are they a top five type offense from now until the end of the year? 800-636-1067. We're pivoting a bit to this Browns game now, Sunday. They're favored. They're coming home. They're excited to be back, according to Luke McCaffrey joining us yesterday. They think they're going to be a raucous atmosphere. They're really giddy to see what the fan turnout is after all of the fans that were in Arizona, Danny. And as they come home to take on the Browns, they got a chance to get to 4-1. For me, this is the pendulum swinger. If you let down a little bit, you look like you did in week one against Tampa, then there's going to be some ebbs and flows, and I just kind of got to bake in the highs and the lows of the season. Probably a 9-ish type win team. But if they whoop up on Cleveland and they play like they did the last 2 weeks, I'm going to be sipping the Kool-Aid. They'll be 4-1, and I'll be looking toward double-digit wins, and I'll be talking about the playoffs on this show next week.
Interesting. So I was thinking about what my perspective is and is going to be. I think here's what's on the line for me is the ceiling, but not the floor. In other words, I've seen one game that was pretty rotten. I've seen one that was solid. Now that we have the viewpoint of the next two games, it looks better in retrospect, talking about the Giants game. If they struggle and win or lose against Cleveland, it's kind of a rock fight, and Cleveland has their way with them offensively, and Washington can't really do as much on their when they have the football. Win or lose, I'll go, okay, just a reminder that we're in for a roller coaster, like we kind of thought, right? Rookie quarterback, first year, everything. You probably can't count on this group to be that much of a juggernaut. But if they do what you're talking about, and they are 4-1, I'll go, all right, let's all dream together. Let's all high five and buy our t-shirts and get excited. I think that's what's on the line for me. So if they lose, Grant, I'm not going to be bummed or down and out and same old scans. I'm not going to do that at all. Knowing that, hey, here's what we're doing. Our highs are higher than they've been in some time, and we're going to have some lows too as we kind of go through this process
exactly.
With the rookie QB.
No,
that's
where I'm at. Waiting for cold water. That would be the cold water.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't come again, then it really doesn't matter when it does come. The damage, so to speak, has been done. They're already really good.
In years past, cold water looks like losing 10 of your losing 13 of your last 15 games when they started 2-0 with Sam Howell and company. The cold water was, yeah, they're actually not very good at all, and the bottom fell out. I don't think that's the case at this point. So the cold water to me is, yeah, they're just fine.
Nice to talk about the football team's bright future. Time for you to plan your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of Grant and Danny's the law firm, Kondori and Murrah. They're going to help you update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family, schedule a consultation with our buddies, Kondori and Murrah. Right now, visit kmlawyers.com. If you tell them that we sent you, you'll get a discount, kmlawyers.com. By the way, people should come hang out with us this week. We're going to be out and about on Friday for a live broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
Celebrating another weekend of Commanders football in the NFL. We will be at Atlas Brew Works in Alexandria over on Mandeville Lane. Stop by. Atlas's 15 taps are there. Dozens of TVs. Great pizza. Awesome wings. Friday will be there from 2 to 6:30. It's the new Atlas Brew Works in Alexandria. For more information, visit thefandc.com. We'll see you out there. Let's go to the phones. We start with Jeff in Gaithersburg. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good, buddy.
I'm coming in sounding like Bernie Mac on his stand up on Def Jam. What he said, I'm not scared of y'all. I'm not going to finish the rest because it's not appropriate for radio.
All time set, by the way. So funny.
Yeah, that's how I'm feeling right now. I no longer call Jaden Daniels Jaden Daniels. His name is now him. Timothy Daniels III. Listen, from game one to now, like this been constant improvement. And I'm willing to bet if we replayed that Tampa Bay game today, we're winning that game. If we had Seabird in that game, we might be singing a different tune. And we still got pieces in development that's making their strides right now. Sarah still, Sennett, McCaffrey, Coleman. This is not a finished product of the team.
And so, Juke, this is a great point. And I think I want to hammer something on these rookies. I appreciate the call. You got me thinking about this. The best is yet to come this season for Mike Sanders still in the secondary. We're just now seeing Brandon Coleman get to a point where he's playing half of the snaps at left tackle. He played almost 50%. 37 snaps for Lucas at left tackle on Sunday, 35 for the rookie Brandon Coleman, who, by the way, didn't allow a single pressure on, I believe it was 19 dropbacks where he was blocking in the passing game. He was awesome. So Coleman getting implemented and really locked in at left tackle. Sanders still continuing to come into his own in the secondary. They've had to move him around, by the way, from the slot to the outside, right? Both of those things, I think, are arrow-up areas for the rookie class. McCaffrey's been good, is only going to get better. Daniels has probably been so good that you can't expect more than he's given you. Mm-hmm. But if a lot of what we're seeing is legitimate, he'll continue to play at a high level. Jordan McGee got hurt, or else he'd be playing a bunch on defense in that linebacking core. We haven't seen Ben Sinnott catch a pass yet.
Yeah.
He's been open a bunch. I mean, Troy Aikman showed a few clips from the Bengals game and previous games where he was just running free down the field, and he hasn't been targeted yet. That's coming.
Exactly. So to your point, remember, we get the data after the fact from PFF. Hey, Luke McCaffrey's open an awful lot. Look at the separation scores. Look at how open he is. He hadn't had a ton of targets, she said. It's not as if he's, you know, gotten 10 or 15 since then. But that was something you file away because they've got access to stuff too. They're going to know, hey, you guys, Ben Sinnott's working open, or hey, this is something we can come back to. Because what you're doing now is you're showing a type. You're showing tendencies. The good offensive coordinators, I'm not talking about guys that, you know, hey, I designed a good play this week or whatever. The really good ones anticipate what the other team, aka the defense, is thinking about you. So now's the time we break tendency. Now's the time we break type. We do something, a look that we've shown. Now we do that throwback pass to Ben Sinnott. Or now we leak him down the seam. Or now we work that Chris Cooley-style short screen to him and let him work in the middle of the field. You have those assets and abilities, and that's only going to get better from here.
There are three it's happening gifts that I always have to choose from. But it is happening all around us right now. What I mean by that is I'm getting tweets as we talk today. This segment from people. I'll be at the game Sunday for the first time since 2010. Coming out of the woodwork.
2010.
Going back to home games. We saw a lot of this at the beginning of last year, if you remember, after Dan Snyder was gone, just to celebrate his exit. And frankly, the exodus of a lot of the bad guys at the top of the organization, as we can refer to them. They were gone, and people came out to celebrate. But that was fleeting. It was a game. It was two games. And then the season continued. The team was terrible. And nobody had said, I'm going to be at every game. It was just, I'm going to come celebrate.
I just want to go be with fellow fans.
Exactly. But what you're getting now is an opt-in based on the product, which is a very, very different thing. My three It's Happening gifts that I always choose from. You probably know all of them. So one is Ron Paul for some reason. I don't know why him or what this is from.
Huh.
But he lifts his hands over his head and there's these flashing lights behind him and it says, It's Happening. And at this point in 2024, I think we're past like him being a political figure enough that it's just some old guy with his hands over his head. It's kind of funny. It says, It's Happening. I love that one.
I guarantee you one is Jonah Hill doing the scream where he's like waving his hands right in front of his face.
So
is that one of the three?
I've never used that one.
What?
The other one is Michael Scott in The Office.
Oh, I know that one. Yeah.
Where he says, oh my God, it's happening. And he doesn't know what to do. And he's like packing into a wall.
So when Pam goes into labor. Yep.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is Michael Cera, who just kind of smirking at someone who's giving him news, and he's like, it's happening, isn't it? But I've just been rotating those one by one on social media the last couple days with all of these announcements people are making, telling me they're going to their first game in a long time. Let's go to Drew in Graysonville. What's up, Drew?
Hey, guys. So I am, I've been on the bandwagon. You know, I drank the Kool-Aid when it was owned by, when the team was owned by Dan Jim Jones Snyder. So, you know, this feels like much safer Kool-Aid to drink. and I thought at the beginning of the season they were going to either win 6 games or 10 games, but I think they can easily win 12 now. And so I'm feeling good. I will be at the game. Have a great tailgate starting early in the red zone lot. If you want some Polish boys, you know, it's Cleveland, so we do the kielbasa and fries and pierogies. And it's all good in the world right now.
Sounds like fun.
Appreciate you, dude.
Hopefully it's a sunny day. What's the weather going to be this weekend?
I think I think the nonsense is over today. Like the gross, cold, rainy crap.
It's just been awful.
Yeah.
10-day forecast, Landover, Maryland. Let me pull this up.
Sunny in between 55 and 76 on the day.
Come on. Are you kidding me?
That's what I got for you.
Perfect. Football weather. A little
foosball.
Chilly, sunny. Let's do this thing. Let's get to 4-1. Let's do it together. Bracken in Arlington, what's up?
Hey, guys. So I, as much as I want to be excited, I'm still a cynic, and will probably still be one after this week. I grew up in Arizona, and so the Cardinals are my first team. And Cliff Kingsbury, love the guy. I think he's super dedicated, smart guy. But every year, year after year, our problem with him was always about week 10 to 12, everything would just collapse. You'd have Kyler Murray looking like he's still in MVP season. We all thought we had all the reason to hope in the world. I mean, every season something would collapse. And so I think until I see a full season of him here, I'm going to be really struggling to maintain that enthusiasm until I see it.
That is so true.
I totally get that, by the way. And I brought this up a couple times, that was the pathology. Multiple times on multiple seasons in Arizona, they'd get off to these gangbuster starts. They were, I think, 11-1 at one point, undefeated late into the season, and then finished by losing 5 out of 6 or whatever it was, because all of a sudden the offense couldn't go anymore. As adjustments got made, maybe guys wore down, I don't know. The hope is, and you heard a little bit of that, I think on the telecast and some of the stories of the years off that Kingsbury's had since he was in the NFL. And you're hoping that, kind of like a la Mike Shanahan did it during his sabbatical, you study the league, you figure out what's going on. You do some self-scouting too, where you figure out, okay, why? Why did that happen to me? And can I prevent it? That's why it's a huge year for him, right? Because right now he's the hottest thing since sliced bread. And if this kind of continues or something close to it, that's a head coach. He wants that. He needs to get to the finish line. So hopefully he's aware that when you get to that point that has been a bugaboo for him and his teams over the last couple of seasons, last time he's been in charge of an offense, that doesn't happen now, and you finish strong, and now you got yourself your head coaching gig again.
The first year he was in Arizona in 2019, they were really bad. He was taking over an awful team.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of dismiss that. The pandemic year of 2020, they started 5-2, if you remember. They're actually 6-3 as well, and then they finished 8-8. Completely collapsed. The year you're talking about is 2021, when they were 10-1 and yep. Finished 11-6, 1-5 down the stretch. And then 2022, they went 4-13, but even that year, they were 2-2, and they'd won 3 times as of early October. And the rest of the football season, they won 1 football game to go 4-13. And then there was the year where, you know, that was the year he got fired. So that is the book, very obviously. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's him as a head coach and the team record. But a big part of the problem were the offenses. The offenses would come out, light yep. people up, not to the extent they are now. But it is not lost on me, for the record, and this is pro-Cliff, not anti-Cliff. When you see the stat that's being shown everywhere, this graphic we're all seeing, completion percentage at the quarterback position, and Jaden Daniels with the record right now through 4 games. Tom Brady's 2nd on that chart. You've seen it?
Yes.
Kyler Murray, under Cliff Kingsbury, is, I think, 4th in that top 5. 2 of the 5 guys are Cliff Kingsbury quarterbacks in the horizontal raid. That's not nothing. Like, this is him designing very easy, safe things. Now, Jaden, on top of that, has been unbelievable and sensational as a passer. That's not taking away. But part of what's going to happen, Danny, is teams are going to start playing you to expecting the quick game, getting up and jamming and playing the line of scrimmage and muddying things up short and intermediate and maybe giving you the over-the-top stuff. And then we've got to see, those are lower percentage plays, obviously.
Right.
Can you hit on enough of those? Can you hit the home run to McLaurin? Can you hit on something down the field to De'Ami Brown? I mean, but that's coming.
Listen to these points, just running through it. Listen to these point totals in 2021 to start the season, kind of to your point. 38-13 win, 34-33 win, 31-19 win, 37-20 win, 17-10 win over San Francisco, 37-14 win, 31-5. You're going, oh my God,
so
this is a juggernaut.
So that's the Commanders this year.
Yeah, this is a bleeping juggernaut. Then, you know, it started to get inconsistent, then it started to fall off, and then it got bad.
Yeah, so true. I also would point out, and I'm not going to pretend like I called what's happening, because the opposite probably is the case, where I didn't expect any of this early. But the one thing I did say is, and I think you agreed with me on this, you'll have to remind me, but we both had them like 6-7-ish wins, mm-hmm. right? My point was always there's a better chance they win 10 games and Daniels has that Griffin year than they win 4. Because I think the running quarterback, the quarterback that runs, is a ceiling lifter. It is a ceiling elevator. You see it with Caleb Williams, who doesn't really run that much, or Bo Nix, who's athletic and does scramble, but it's hard as a rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
The cheat code and the answer key is the ability to run. And for guys like Robert Griffin and Lamar Jackson or whoever else, they've all hit the ground sprinting literally and figuratively because they can run. And then the adjustments get made and what happens after that. Sometimes you continue to play at a high level. Sometimes you don't. But I always kind of felt like there was a possibility that at least in year one or early on, they did something crazy where no one could stop them because their quarterback just presents that many problems. That is different than assuming that would always be the case, which I didn't expect and still kind of don't, honestly. But the fast start thing was always a possibility
mm-hmm.
because we've seen it with a dual-threat quarterback. In fact, it happens, I don't want to say more often than not, but when Heisman Trophy-winning dual threats are picked second around here, we're 2-for-2 with the offense taking the league by storm.
You're familiar with the higher floor right away.
Totally.
I'm with you. Yep.
Different situation in terms of the team. That Redskins team was 3-6. They weren't that good. Then they won 7 in a row. This is a 3-1 team that is way, way, way better. Let's go to Kendall in Crofton. How are you?
Hey, what's up, brothers?
Hey, man.
Man, you guys make some great points. You can't refute any of that. The only thing I would say is different. I think you mentioned this, Grant, is number one, he's operating as an OC versus a HC. I think that's a big difference. And then I think Jaden, man, Jaden is different, bro. He is so accurate. He processes so fast. I've been watching the game over and over, and I've seen all 22s and different people breaking down, so forth. It's amazing what he's doing to these defenses right now. So I am all in, but I do want to see what he does because Cleveland has a real defense. He had Arizona. They didn't know what they were doing.
They did not know what to do.
They were confused. So we're going to see a real defense this week. And if he can dime up and make plays and keep the sticks moving, man, sky is the limit, man. Sky is the limit because this kid, he has everything.
It's fun to dream on. I mean, there has not really been a flaw exposed yet. Like right now, this moment, come up with something that you would say Jaden Daniels can't do or that you're scared about long-term in his development. I would still bring up his size, which was one of my big concerns in terms of his, it's not his height, he's 6'3 and change. It's his slenderness and taking hits. First two games, everyone forgets, he missed a play in his second game of his career because he took a big shot. First game, he got hit helmet to helmet. Luckily, the red hat didn't pull him off the field. But he could have easily missed time in both of his first two games based on hits he took. So that would be my answer. But if you separate that, and it's just football related, where are your concerns?
That's always been my list, is the hits. Because of the frame and because of his propensity to take them. Right? You're going to be hit. I mean, think of the Cincinnati play, the one we're all heralding because it was awesome. The throw to Terry McLaurin with a 10% completion percentage. He got smacked right up under his chin, upper chest. That's inevitable just playing quarterback. You play quarterback in this league, you're going to have moments where you step into an oncoming freight train that's going to knock you on your ass. That's always coming. It's the extra ones where you go, being hit is bad, so we should try to avoid the hits as much as possible. I'm worried about it because he had a propensity to take them. That's always been my concern.
What happens if they look different and worse against the Browns? How will you be viewing everything? Let's say they win or they don't. Doesn't really matter the outcome. Even if they're 4-1, but it looks very, very different, and the offense looks like for a week it was solved by a smart defensive coordinator. 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Hey,
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our double play comes your way at 3:45. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. And we will blitz at 4 o'clock. Remember, in a half hour, we're giving away tickets to the Caps home opener. You better be listening to Grant and Danny right here on The Fan. 6 o'clock, speaking of tickets we're giving away, we got tickets to see the Deftones coming to D.C. Austin Eckler's on the show at 5. We talked to him on Friday before the game. I want to ask him about Jeremy McNichol's performance. And what he said to McNichols after the game, he said he'd been texting him throughout the week, helping him to get ready. McNichols couldn't have been better, man. He looked like Austin Eckler.
So much burst, quick as hell. A couple big blocks and pass pro that are huge. It's kind of like, this is what it is. This is the pass catching back.
We'll also get to the bottom of Eckler's chances to play at home on Sunday against the Browns. So before we get back to the phones, the question we're posing to people is, let's say they have a game where they take a step back against Cleveland. We'll call it the cold water performance here, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think everyone will respond? We're starting to hear the P word, playoffs, and thinking about 10 wins. Will that still be happening and it'll be just viewed as a step backwards? Or will it be a opportunity where we all kind of just snap out of it a little bit and we go, that was an incredible week. Let's lock back in on recalibration, finding north, rebuild, and watch Jaden Daniels and care less about the result.
Three pieces of pie here in your pie graph. I think one will be same old, right? Where it's like, yeah, it's too good to be true. They aren't good, and here comes the other shoe dropping, and this will never work out, and blah, blah, blah. I think there's going to be a portion that thinks that way. That's not where I am, to be honest with you, but I think a lot of people will feel that way. Portion number two is just kind of like you're saying, hey, that was a great run for a couple of weeks where they were awesome. This is probably more normal. Let's see what happens. And then three is kind of like somewhere in between where it's like, this is just one setback. They're still winning 10, 11, 12 games because they have that high ceiling.
I think if they play well against Cleveland, regardless of result, I'm going to come in here feeling like they're going to win the vast majority of the rest of their games. Because the way I view football is, do you have a good offense? Do you have a good quarterback? If the answer to those questions is yes, then you're going to win half the time or more, pretty much. That's how it works. You're going to go up against better offenses. You might lose those. You're going to go up against better quarterbacks. You might lose those. And occasionally, you'll even lose a game you're not supposed to a bad offense or to a bad quarterback. But for the most part, you're going to be a 500-ish team. That's the floor I'm looking for. That's what I care about. So if they play okay and the offense hums again against the Browns, even in a loss, I'm still going to feel better on the other side. But I guess the one thing that would lead to me feeling like it was a wake-up call is if they come out flat, they look unprepared, it seems like they were buying into how good they were all week, and the offense scuffles in the sense that, like, we see a lot of, not alarming, but maybe regressions from Daniels in the passing game. Like, guys aren't open, it's covered, he's making bad decisions, forcing the ball where it shouldn't be, not taking what's given to him, all the stuff he hasn't done at all. Then I'd rethink a little bit, because it just stands to reason. Like, we've seen no real struggles, it just seems like it's coming very easily to him. If something else happens on Sunday, it enters into the equation, but I don't really foresee that. Let's go to the phones, though. B's in Haymarket. B, how much is on the line for you in this Browns game as far as how you'll feel moving forward?
Gentlemen, for me and my fandom, there are four steps. The first step for my team, which is the Redskins, Commanders. Number one, don't embarrass yourself. Okay, we got that. Number two, be competitive. Seems like we got that. Number three, expect to win. And number four, be shocked if you don't win. I don't think we're there yet, but I think we're getting close. So for me, the better gift that you were talking about earlier, the better one, would be Philip Seymour Hoffman in the first Twister movie when he said, "It's coming. It's headed right for us." I think we got to wait just a second before we get the other half of that. It's already here.
I love it.
Love
so, so are you in expect to win mode in the third group or not yet?
I want to be competitive. As long as we're not making stupid pre-snap errors and we're competitive, I can wait for the progressives to go.
Okay, but I guess what I'm wondering then for the way you're describing it, which I love these
tiers. That's a really good way to express it.
Yeah, I love these tiers. So when do you get into expect to win mode? I expected to win against the Cardinals. I expect to win against the Browns. I don't know that I'm in that tier yet, though, because I won't expect to win against the Ravens, if that makes sense.
Well, see, my frame of reference is, because I'm old, my frame of reference is when we were really good in the 80s and the 90s. And when we lost against the Cowboys, I was shocked that we lost that game. But when we played everybody else, you know, we were ultra competitive, I expected to win almost every game except when you go against the reigning Super Bowl champions.
So even when they're playing the Ravens or the Chiefs, you expect to win. I like that. Then I won't be there at any point this season, probably, in fairness to those tiers, which I really like. Never in my life have I been in...
You've never seen it.
I've never been in that last group. The I'm shocked we lost. That doesn't exist. I don't even know what that is.
For those of us that are old enough to remember, what B was talking about quantifies it perfectly. You all remember it. Like... The if they lost a game, you went, oh, well, they'll win next week because they would. And they did enough times where your faith was always rewarded. When they lost in the NFC Championship game to the Giants, I think it was the 86 season, so beginning of 87, they lost this defensive struggle, tug of war where the Giants were great. You go, we'll be back next year. They won the Super Bowl next year. Like they validated every irrational fans' belief that it'll be fine down the road because it would be.
Well, and I get it because I've had it with the Caps and the Nats at varying points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Capitals for the better part of a decade and change, I have had the expect to win. I would even say shocked when they lost. You know, against bad teams, most of the time, you just go in. You go to a home Caps game during the peak Rock the Red era.
President's Cup time.
And they didn't win. You were stunned. So I've had that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Playoffs are a different story in hockey. It's puck luck and it's bounces, and I don't know that you expect anything really, but you always felt good about their chances to win. The Nationals, similarly, in the regular season, when they went in every year as a 95-100 win team, when they would lose a series to a bad Mets team or the Marlins or something, or you know the Diamondbacks when they were down or whatever, that was shocking. So I've definitely had it with my teams, but for the Wizards and the Redskins, Commanders, football team, whatever they've been along the way, I've never experienced that, but I think that's a good way to view it. Right now, this moment, competitive is a good baseline. That's easy. You know they're going to be competing, but this is two straight weeks where I've been confident they were going to win the football game going in. I haven't felt like that in a long time either, and that speaks to how dominant they were against the Bengals.
That's right.
Because the Bengals game, I didn't think they would win. Let's go to Gibb in Connecticut on G&D.
What up, guys? Just started listening. And listen, I'm 18 years old, and when the best season we've had is 7-9 in a COVID year, it's impossible to think that we can be that bad when we are right now. Like, we have a chance to be 4-1 for the first time in, I think, my whole life.
Yeah, before you were born, dude.
Well, yeah, 2011 was the last time they were. So who's the first quarterback that you remember rooting for Washington?
I faintly remember the Griffin years.
Oh, my God.
Kirk was probably the first.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I really
Kirko?
Remember.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So what year were you born?
2006.
Oh, my God.
I was a senior in high school.
Like, good for you and stuff, but yeah. Oh, my God.
So you live in Connecticut?
Yeah. I went to the Tampa and Giant game.
How many times have you called us before?
This is my first time.
Oh, first time. Bruce.
Yeah.
Do you have anything? Or not Bruce. Who's the other guy that stunk? Jim Zorn. Do you have
Jimmy.
Anything you'd like to say?
Hip hip hooray!
So, Gibb, do you know who Jim Zorn is? Do you remember that?
He coached, right?
Yep.
Yeah, but you don't remember him coaching here?
No, I remember Shanahan and then Googled it.
That is amazing.
Oh, my God, dude.
I hate doing the bit where it's just like, wow, you're so young, but I just can't wrap my head around this. So
my thing about the Cleveland game.
Yep.
He's like, can I get on topic, please,
you idiots,
age,
you goons.
I have one more question, though. One more question.
Did you just say okay, boomer, to me, Gibb?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
I have one more question. So, you live in Connecticut?
Yeah.
And you always have?
Yeah.
Why do you like this team?
So my grandpa was a Redskin fan. He made my dad be a fan. And then my dad names me Joe Gibbs.
That was my follow-up question.
That is silly. Named after Joe Jackson. Okay, so but it's got to have been brutal. Because you're like in, are you in Patriots country?
Giants, really. And I mean, they haven't been great, but still better than we have.
Well, that's just because they woke up in the morning and got out of bed.
Managed to put their underpants and socks on, yeah.
But you're just going to school, wearing your gear, and people are wearing you out.
Yep, it's been a rough ride.
All right, well, anyway, so the Browns, we apologize.
So, my thing is, we've been so bad, so I don't care if we win 3-0. Of course, you want to win 35-3, but if we win 3-0 and we're 4-1, we got to be a winning, start turning to a winning organization. The Chiefs, they haven't had a blowout once this year, but they're still the best team in football because they find out how to win games. And we have to turn into that team. So if we're 4-1, I'm ecstatic.
I think there's something to that.
I do, actually. There's a good point. I mean, big picture for me, I'm less concerned about an individual win or loss for this year. Eventually, if their goal is, hey, we think we're a Super Bowl caliber team, then you can live and die with a given play or points. But there is something to be said to his point about they're actually trying to learn how to do something that none of these guys have really done consistently since a lot of these vets have been here.
The Chiefs, though, are in a completely different situation where they just got to get to the playoffs. And then when they get to the playoffs, they'll do the mm-hmm. thing they've done the last couple of years with a bad offense comparative to the years before that, where they flip the switch and old Travis Kelce balls out for like the 1 month that he can give you 100% and be in shape and do it, all the stuff he's got to do. And Patrick Mahomes puts the team on his back, and they try to go win a title. But it is a survive and advance thing for them. Mm-hmm. Like, they've already arrived. They're the veteran team that's trying to keep the window open at a point where no one ever has ever been able to before for a third straight year. So it's just like every one-point win they get, you're one step closer to back to the playoffs to continue the journey. Whereas with Washington, to your point, the wins and the losses right now and the making the playoffs in year one with Quinn and this crew, less significant to me than just the foundational building. The Chiefs are several years past that, but I certainly get the point. He's saying, I don't need style points, dude. I've been waiting 18 years to win football games, and now I got a chance to. So go kick a field goal at the horn and beat the Browns, because now you got a chance to actually be decent. Joe, what's up? You're on Grant and Danny.
Joe from Triangle?
This is you?
Yeah.
I don't know what Triangle is, so I avoided it. Tim from Square, Steve in Circle. You're Joe, so go for it.
We're just south of Dumfries and just north of Quantico Marine Corps Base.
Got it. So,
I wanted to make a point, but I've been on hold for a while, so I actually had a minute to do some research that would actually help my point. So if you'll indulge me for 1 second.
Silly. I love that.
I wanted to go back to the Giants game. You guys had mentioned that we won because they didn't have a kicker.
Yep.
I was looking at the drive chart, okay? So they would have scored the two touchdowns and kicked the point after to make it 14-12 instead of 12-12, right?
Yes.
Okay, then we kick a field goal and make it 15-14, and then they would have had their first fourth down in field goal territory, which would have been the 4th-and-3 at the 31, down 15-14, with 6 minutes in the fourth quarter. So I assume they kick a field goal there to make it 17-15. Instead, they got the first down and the touchdown. So then we kicked the field goal, which would have made it 18-17. And
your
then
point
they had
is that you don't think they would have won with a kicker.
Well, yeah, they would have had 20 points.
No, but you're playing
18,
the game out exactly
so
as it played out, which is not my point. My point is the entire game would have been different. How you coach, how you call plays, everything Brian Daboll would have done for four quarters would have been different.
I understand that, but I'm just saying we wouldn't have automatically lost if they had.
It's not automatic.
Right, that's fair.
Get to your other point. Because frankly, through the drive chart against the Giants ain't putting Triscuit crackers in my stomach.
No. Okay. Well, but what it gets me to is with the Cleveland game is that I've kind of always been of the impression that if you're a good team, you beat all the teams no matter how it happens. You find a way to win against all the teams you're better than. You win at least 50% against the teams you're equal to. And you steal one or two from the teams that are better than you. And I think that if we beat the Browns, it definitely shows that we have at least reached the stage where we can pretty reliably beat the teams we're better than. And that's way better than we've been for years and years and years.
Totally.
And then I wanted to ask you a piece of advice real quick, Grant, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
I am like you. I'm a gentleman, as Chad Dukes used to say, is a little long of waist, long of belt.
Right.
Former college football player myself. I'm thinking maybe this Christmas I might break down, even though I don't want to. But if we do really well, I'm thinking the name's going to stick around. So I'm thinking about breaking down and getting my first Commander's jersey.
Oof.
I like you, Grant, am a jersey hipster.
Yeah, you know. You get it.
So being long of waist, I can't have a single digit or teens number or probably even a number with a 1 in it, but I might be able to go there if it's like 61 or 71 or something like that. So what's my best jersey choice of the players we have right now in your thought process? My boys want me to go, because they're dirty teenagers, they want me to go 69-aught, the long snapper.
You could do better than that,
of the number.
I think. Yeah.
But they want it because of the number in their teenage boys, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So I'm looking for you guys' advice on the good hipster jersey pick.
I love it. So
guys,
my one question is, that do you need it to be a lineman? Could it be a double-digit number of a skill guy, or would you prefer to represent the trenches?
I don't really care. I was a linebacker personally, so I'd be fine with a linebacker number. For a while, I wore 78, and I think Lucas has 78 now. I was a long snapper. I like the long snappers
Tyler
a little bit,
Ott's
but again,
back in the mix.
I
appreciate the call. Danny, do you have a suggestion for him?
For me, I'm so cheap that I hate buying jerseys for a million reasons. But one, a lot of the contracts are short. I'm not going to buy a 1-year deal guy, right? Who's probably not going to be here after a while. So if I'm buying one, thinking linebacker or something else, maybe Luvu is a good jersey for the number
digit, four.
Yeah.
No, that's the problem. He said he's a portly fellow.
Yep.
You can't go single digit
number. I think any number's fine.
No, that's the first rule of being a fat guy. You cannot wear a single digit number. The answer is 76 Cosme. That is the answer. Sam Cosme just signed an extension. He will be here. He's the best lineman on the team. He is one of the leaders of the team, and he's going to be a Pro Bowler either this year or next year. Probably this year, the way things are trending offensively. So I think you go 76 Cosme. If you really want a deeper cut as a hipster, like if I was buying a jersey right now, I would get a Ben Sinnott 82. I like the tight end purchase, Sinnott. That's Sinnott, number 82, would probably be my purchase. The rookie will take over for Ertz as the go-to guy at the position in the passing game next year. Great question, though. Good call. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. Remember, Friday, we will be broadcasting live from Atlas Brewworks in Alexandria. It's the new Atlas spot over on Mandeville Lane. Check us out. They have taps, 15 of them, available to you. Dozens of TVs, great pizza and wings. We're there all day Friday, broadcasting from 2 to 6:30, going into a nice weekend in college football and a great weekend in the NFL. Time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
Two things I want to do. One is super quick. The other a little bit more serious. 41 seconds left in the Cleveland Browns, Las Vegas Raiders game. Deshaun Watson drops back to pass. Scrambles left. Sacked by Charles Snowden, St. Albans School alumnus. You sleep, and you sleep. That is a St. Albans Bulldog making plays in the pros, filling in for Max Crosby, and winning a football game.
No way.
On Sunday, St. Albans Bulldog. The other thing I wanted to tell you is, got hit by a car on Sunday. My two sons and I, we were driving to my oldest soccer game, 8:30 in the morning, and a kind of coming around a gentle curve, and a car was completely 100% out of control. Outrageously fast on a 35-mile-an-hour speed limit road, just slid all the way into our lane, side swipes our back left, so the driver's side rear part of the car. We fishtail for, a second or two, and, I don't know if you guys have ever been in an accident, but it happens. My first reaction is, okay, let's make sure nobody else is about to hit me, right? Because I didn't want to slam on the brakes and have a car that was following me. And it's just, you know, single file cars going between 30 and 37, you know? I didn't want to have a pileup caused by it. And then it's to make sure that both my kids are okay, right? So as I'm starting to slow down, realizing, hey, you boys okay? Everyone's fine? The answer is yes. We start to pull over to the side of the road. And I'm then going to, you know, I don't know, exchange information or figure out what the hell's going on with this guy that just left his lane and hit us at 8:40 in the morning, whatever, on a Sunday. And I glance in the rearview mirror as I'm slowing down. He had spun off the road and was already reversing K-turn style and then sped off in the opposite direction.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Long gone. So I went, all right, I guess we'll just keep going to my oldest soccer game.
Did you follow him?
No, because it would have been possible, just traffic-wise. The cars are coming. People are kind of like...
Did you get a look at him?
No. Just it's a white sedan that'll have some damage on the left front.
Guys, be on the lookout for... Wait, I have a white sedan.
I don't think it was your car. I don't think.
Okay.
Unless you were in the greater South Lakes area at 8:30 in the morning on Sunday.
Not as far
were
as you know.
Were you? Anyway, this guy's a horse's ass, and I hope he gets crotch rot and athlete's foot.
There's some guy listening right now that goes, oh, no, that was Danny.
Yeah. Well, maybe he says, oh, yes, that was Danny. Maybe he hates my guts, and that's why I did it. But so and we end up—
How much damage to the car?
Not a ton, but some, to the point that it's still drivable. I realize I'm not going to be able to catch this guy or catch up with him or whatever. I'm not going to go on some high-speed chase with my kids in the car or whatever, or et cetera. So I get to the field, make sure my oldest is taken care of. He's, you know, warming up for his game now. I've got my youngest with me. I call the non-emergency line and tell a really nice officer of Fairfax County, here's what happened. They dispatch somebody. Poor guy has to deal with my thing. It's like
he tells you, yeah, this will never go anywhere.
Yeah, he's like, good luck to you, loser. You know,
oh, it was a white car. All right, thanks. We'll get our investigation.
How many
started.
Wheels did it have? Four. So the reason I did that, not to like whatever. If somebody, you know, this guy's driving recklessly, hopefully it doesn't happen to somebody else.
If there's a crash up the road, you can add that to the list.
Yeah, that's number one. But number two, so for the insurance report, I need to have like a police case number, file number, or whatever. So I'm in the middle of doing that, and it sucks. As nice as all these people are that happen to be, everyone's doing what they're supposed to do, it's still, I hate this part. Like,
oh, it's the pit.
Getting hit stunk, obviously. It was scary. You know, my kids are fine. You know, everybody's okay. But it's like one of these, like, you got to call this thing for this thing. Then once you get the estimate approved, you got to take pictures in this really weird app that doesn't work right. It converts the pictures sideways. And everything about it's just so dumb. And I got to get a rental car, and I'll drop it off at the service station tomorrow, and blah, 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 blah.
If I could say this, too, if I could piggyback on your story, you'll remember that several months ago now, you could tell me it was 5 months ago or a year ago, mm-hmm. I don't remember, but I was driving home from here, and right out on 395 in traffic, so we weren't going that fast, but a car rammed into the back of me. Now, I am the kind of guy, I always say this, you want to get into a fender bender with me. You just do. Because I don't care about objects. You know, I am mm-hmm. not I don't care about having nice things. I don't wear watches. I don't collect things. If you're at my house and you break my light, you want to be at my house when you do the stupid thing. Because I'll be like, oh, don't worry, you spilled wine on my carpet. It's fine. I just mm-hmm. don't care about
it. It's fine.
You know that about me.
I do know that.
So I was ready to be the nice guy anyway, assuming nothing crazy had happened. And as I get out, like after this guy rams into the back of me, probably at 15, 20 miles an hour or whatever, I like to say there's like seven dudes in the car, like little car, like lots of guys.
Yeah.
They just haul ass away.
Yeah.
They just back up and drive away. We don't get to have a conversation. I don't get to talk to them and see what's what. That is a terrible feeling. I don't know how to describe it, but you now can.
Mm-hmm.
That feeling of you've wronged me, and oh, by the way, you have not allowed us to discuss it, is just the hit and run's too strong. That's is obviously by definition
that's
what
it is. Yeah.
But like, it's not like, hey, my car is totaled, mm-hmm. or I probably would have just said, no worries, get back in your car. Who knows what you would have done? If there's any damage or whatever, maybe exchange insurance. But my point is, Danny, I think you understand if you've been in the situation, there is just a violation. I was violated feeling of them taking off and you having no recourse now.
Well, it goes to something that I felt in general, and I think you and I experienced this, and I think a lot of people do, where I go, okay, I'm here. I'd love to follow the rules. We've got a whole society, a whole fabric, where you follow the rules and that's good. And when someone doesn't follow the rules, hey, isn't there something that's going to happen to them? Oh, nothing? All right, take care.
Welp, see you later.
I guess I just will file the report then. You know, like, that's the part that I hate.
Just getting kicked in the teeth.
Yeah, it's less violated. It's like, well, I'm the sucker now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm doing all the stuff. I get nothing. Like, what do I get? Inconvenience. You know what I mean? That's the part that sucks.
We got tickets to the Caps home opener. We will give those away as soon as we come back on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.